roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goat. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you're listening to another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goes, Ari's co-host. What's up, Goes?
What up?
Not much, man. It's fight week, except it's fight week in a different way. So I know, there's Bellator going on. Two of them, as a matter of fact. We'll talk about them. Plus, there's a UFC card out in Auckland, New Zealand, the opposite side of the planet. So yeah, in that regard, it's fight week. But here in Vegas, it's a major, major fight week. In fact, you can hear the TVs. Everybody's talking about Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. Goes, this is a big one in boxing too, man.
It's an old school feel. Anytime you have a big boxing event in Vegas, it's really cool. But when they're heavyweights, it's even cooler.
Yeah, and finally they got things going yesterday with, now I could hear, now I could feel the buzz a little bit in town. Couple shoves, manufactured shoves. I think they could have done a little bit better with the shoving, you know. These guys got in each other's faces, and of course, you and I are fresh to this because we saw Fury doing this for WWE recently, and so that's why I wasn't as convinced, you know what I mean? And the Bronze Bomber, man, he doesn't look like the type of guy that would be up for antics, you know, but he seemed to be as well, and whatever, you know, the common folk, they see something like that, and they get pumped up, but you and I are pumped up about this boxing match.
I don't know. I'm fired up. Yeah, no, it's going to be a really good one.
Yeah. So listen, we'll chime in on that. We'll chime in on two Bellator cards. And of course, the UFC, we got Felder versus Hooker as your main event. So obviously, we've got to spend a little bit of time on that. And of course, the news nuggets. You know the news nuggets. MMA never fails. There's some good stuff with like a title bout that's been booked. And of course, some of that TMZ drama stuff that old GG likes. So buckle up, folks. Here we go.
In 2008, a former D1 football star pulled off a robbery so daring and so strange that it went viral worldwide. It was a perfect crime story. There was just one problem. It wasn't the real story of what happened. The Sneak is a new, serialized true crime podcast from For the Win and USA Today Sports. You can subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or get it anywhere you get podcasts on Tuesday, January 14th.
All right, guys, so let's do this. Let's go boxing first real fast. Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury 2. This, you know, if not for MMA, this would be so much bigger because you have an American heavyweight. Boxing has a rich history. When an American heavyweight is at the top, is a world champion. Of course, the UK has delivered, you know, with some champions. It's not like it has to be that way. When Lennox Lewis was at the top, that was fun too. But you have a great British heavyweight against the great American heavyweight. Both guys can talk. The first fight did not suck, for sure. This is a big one, man. And again, if the younger audience didn't have 26, 27 years of MMA that pulls them in different directions, and even the other combat sports or just gaming or the internet, I mean, everyone would be sitting down with their pops, their grandpops, their uncles watching this boxing match on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate because we grew up in different eras. Mm-hmm. This would be really, really cool to us, but the new generation, part of it, I can't blame them. There's just really, like, at the end of that fight, so what? You know, I guess, you know, one of them, there's so many titles out there that people get confused. Well, wait a minute. How could there be four heavyweight champions? Or, you know, when guys don't unify titles or they give up titles, what happens from here? Most people can't even name who the next guy in line would be.
Right.
So, in a way, I sort of blame boxing. It feels like they're just kind of out there for the moment, and then they just kind of forget about things. There's no storyline or nothing. As with the UFC and MMA in general, even Bellator, PFL, there's a storyline. Like, the next week, you already moving towards a new card and new fighters. Right. And so it's kind of boxing's fault. But, hey, when it comes to heavyweights, it doesn't matter. You know, they just, if they can put together two big heavyweights, it's going to be a big deal in Las Vegas and across the country.
I just remember sporting events took place. You just had the calendar in your head, you know. And I remember when the Olympics would come, every 4 years, man, for 2 weeks, you just sat in front of your TV, you know, after dinner and watched whatever you could. And then when it was over, you know, you moved on to something else. Same thing. You could, Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury was something you talked about for like 3 months, maybe even six, until it finally happened. But nowadays, I mean, stuff's just like boom, 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 this, that. You get pulled in so many directions. And again, another thing, I guess what I'm stressing, young fans, MMA fans, is you didn't have the temptation to become a boxing fan. You never know. You might be a boxing fan had MMA not existed. You see what I'm saying? So boxing might be too soft for you, honestly. Yeah. But give it a shot, folks. It's going to be a great fight. The first one was great.
They're going to fight three
times. Yeah, the first one was great, and this one's going to be great. So if you've ever been on the fence about boxing or what, you know, hey, trust me, the knockout power is going to be there, and there's going to be celebs in the audience. It's going to be a big thing, so maybe call a buddy or two and have some friends over and make it a boxing night. All right, folks, enough of that. Moving on here, I teased a, well, no, yeah, let's go to News Nuggets first. I teased a fight that's already been made, Valentina Shevchenko. She's staying busy, guys, versus JoJo Calderwood at UFC 251. Talk about that matchup.
You know what? It's kind of funny when you think about Valentina. Actually, it's amazing the pace that girl keeps. You know, she's fighting the best of the best that are available to her. And I almost sit back and wonder, like, what is it for? Because really, when you think about it, I mean, she's got the title. I think it's just to get back to Amanda Nunes eventually, right? I mean, it's the only thing that really makes sense for her.
But well, she just takes on and why not after top challenger. What Amanda Nunes is doing? So you start to pressure them a little bit. So Amanda Nunes has 5 title defenses. Mm-hmm. Valentina Shevchenko has 3. But I mean, or maybe Valentina sees John Jones. You know, they were taking champ pictures, you know, and maybe she's like thinking, wow, I want to do what that guy did. You know what I mean? He's got 11 title defenses. You know, I want to get to those numbers. You know, when you talk about like Jose Aldo had 7 title defenses, I believe. GSP had 9. Anderson Silva had 10. Demetrius Johnson had 11. John Jones now has 11. And think about those names I just listed. Those are like legends. You know what I mean? You don't have to dispute those names. Hey, is he a legend? What do you think? Define a legend? I mean, no, hell no. I mean, those are automatic Hall of Famers right there. Mm. Maybe that's the company she wants to keep, you know? And she figures, look, I'm sacrificing. It's not like you really see her. You see her a lot like doing like a bikini shot here and there, a dancing shot here and there, but you never really see a significant other. So I know probably eventually she'll probably want to get to, you know, if she doesn't have a boyfriend, a husband, kids, you never know. And she's got her health. She's staying busy. She's already seen a lot of the world, or she does a good job of training while seeing a lot of the world. She's doing it right. What she's not doing is sitting on her ass at home, wasting time like a lot of us do.
I think what if she hasn't done it already, really under everybody's eyes, she's probably taken that 4th Mount Rushmore spot, right, in women's MMA that we kind of...
If you go by greatness, yeah.
Yeah, but I believe she's probably going to end up knocking out Miesha Tate, right, from there?
Exactly, yeah. If you want to go real quick...
You go Cyborg, Ronda, Amanda,
Miesha, and Shevchenko. And then yeah, unless you give that Gina Carano spot... I've always said this. If you give Gina Carano spot, the same thing... Have you ever seen...
She's more of the pioneer,
male,
like the Hoist.
Exactly. Race. When people go, what's your male Mount Rushmore... People go, well, you got to have Hoist. And yeah, I don't disagree with him. You know, I kind of sometimes want to go, bitch, come on. Like, he was there. But come on, GSP, Jones, like, who are you going to eliminate, you know, when you start going through that list? But, A, Hoist was undefeated in the UFC, goes. B, he was doing some of that crazy shit where he fought 3 times in one night, 4 times in one night, and no weight classes.
I think it's you just a different entity. It's
so that was amazing shit that Hoist did. And so it's not the crazy. I mean, then he goes to Japan, and, you know, then he had a 1PED episode. And so you start to go there and unpack that there. But if you just go Pioneer, but really dive into, like, some of the things he did, you know, like, that was pretty amazing.
He's Mount Rushmore of no holds barred.
Mm-hmm.
What I think we're all talking about now is the sport that came from that, mm-hmm, mixed martial arts.
Is Gina Carano the Hoist Gracie of women's MMA? Would she
yes
get that spot?
Yes and
she's
no.
Only got the one loss.
In the sense of building a sport, helping to do that, I would say yeah. But really, when you think about careers, I think Ronda is kind of similar to that. You know, Ronda was just far and above everybody else at the time. And little by little, people caught up. And it kind of reminds me of what happened with Hoist.
Okay. All right. How about all this stuff going down with James Krause?
Oh, man, I feel for that guy.
So he's furious with Joe Solis, a judge that we talked about after UFC 247 because of some questionable scorecards that came out. You know, of course, Dominic Cruz and Joe Rogan set the table, you know, where they started mentioning a judge that might not even be paying attention. That was one narrative. Another one was, these are boxing judges. This is a boxing commission, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's, but anyway, towards the end of the night, we get the score of Dominic Reyes losing 4-1. That was Joe Solis. James Krause, he lost a split decision. And what made a difference was Joe Solis's card. He gave Giles, his opponent, the first round, in which James Krause, I want to say most people gave it to him. I rewatched that round on purpose a few times, and I mentioned that in the first 45 seconds, Giles got some strikes off.
Mm-hmm.
Not the type where the other guy was wobbled. Oh my God, is he going to fall down? Nothing like that. But then James Krause got him. Not only did he get him down, he had him in a dominant position, rode him, threatened the submission for about, I guess, with 15 minutes left in the first minute, all the way through with about 45 seconds left in the last minute. So that would be about a total of 3 minutes and 30 seconds. And then Giles was able to get out, ground and pound a little bit. Then they got to their feet. And they still exchanged some strikes. But James Krause also landed a knee, I remember. I didn't see anything that Giles' stand-up overcame Krause's dominance on the ground, is my point. So that was another card that Solis turned in. And then there was one earlier in the night. I forget which one it involved. But it was one where there was a Ewell fight where we felt like he hadn't won all 3 rounds. But regardless, now we find out, goes, that this judge received his black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. By the way, tip of the hat to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we've established that he's a lifelong martial artist. He's been doing from martial arts from age 4. So that's to the defense of, hey, that's not just a boxing judge, so don't just spout things out, announcers, you know what I mean? But the black belt came from Giles's coach. So there's too close of a connection there, a conflict of interest, if you will. And so now that's the whole. Oh, so another narrative. We need better judges. Of course, every once in a while you hear we need more fighters to become judges. And I've never been convinced that that's the answer. I don't think it's a bad thing, but remember, there's going to be certain ties from fighters to participants that will take years to separate from. So a lot of fighters would have to be very honest about their background. And everyone they've trained, they would have to look at a card and see what the lineage is, like a family tree, to make sure that there's not that type of a connection where their morality can be questioned.
This is the exact scenario I've been talking about for years. And it's one, and it kind of just reminds me of the old days, like old team punishment days, when they would just take pictures and then you would go, wait a minute, I didn't know that guy trained there or whatever. That's going to happen.
Like Mark Layman and Tito Ortiz or something.
Yeah, and you go, oh my God, wait, they trained together? Wait, what? Wasn't that guy a judge on that guy's fight? That just all it takes is one little thing like that to possibly ruin a fight for people. And I just think it's a slippery slope. And I don't blame James Krause for feeling that way. Mm-hmm. I think that so is kind of going to
appeal.
Yeah.
You might have a case. You never know. Because, again, the... What he's throwing out there is, I mean, it's an opinion. Hey, I think it won round one, but it's an opinion held by a lot of people.
I mean, in the court of law, commissions
rarely turn things over, but this is one that he has not only the footage. Hey, look, I believe I won the round, but now they have that conflict of interest. Now, I'm not going to get, I can show you a parlay goes that went 4 out of 5.
Where?
I'm not going to get it back. And I would have won, like, I think it was 800 or 1100. I can't remember. That I would have won if Krause had won. So trust me, I would be sitting front row at the appeal. You know, if he needed a witness, I'd go, I would love to stand in and share my expertise on how this round was judged. If my book was to tell me, sure, I'll pay you, you know, if you can have that case overturned, but I don't think it's going to happen.
It's so unfortunate because in a court of law, when they're picking out jurors and all that, they go so far out of their way to make sure there's no conflict of interest.
Oh, yeah.
For them to just turn around and say, in this case, we don't care. It's just, it does suck, man.
Yeah, exactly. And let me tell you really, really two quick stories. Well, not stories, but I want to just tell the audience just how this works. Frank Trigg, good friend of ours, who you and I did a show with. We did MMA Junkie Radio with Frank Trigg for 2 years when it was called Tag Radio and a little bit of MMA Junkie Radio from 2007 to 2009. Frank Trigg then went on to do, you know, he works in the stunt world and does a few other things, but he actually got himself certified as a trainer, as a referee and judge. You see him mostly as a referee, but he can judge. Frank Trigg would probably not be able to referee or judge a fight involving Brad Tavares or Gray Maynard. Tavares has been at Extreme Couture for about 10 years. Maynard's been there probably about 12 years. That bleeds over into the time where Frank Trigg was finishing up his career. You know, remember he was still going to the UK. He still did a couple fights in Hawaii. Goes that couldn't happen. Now, he might be able to referee Keith Lee's fight or Max Rashkoff's fight or somebody like that.
Joe Benavidez?
Joseph Benavidez has been about 5 years.
At Extreme?
I don't think he's been that long. He's been married and he moved to Vegas, so he might be able to do that. He might. But up until about 3 years ago, I think Frank Trigg still had a locker, you know, there. So I don't know. You know, I just think if I know Frank, he'd probably go, you know what? I'm just going to recuse myself. I will step back from this
it's
one.
It's not hard.
Exactly. There's always extra judges and referees there. You just have to, you know, be informed. Then I'll tell you another quick story. You remember back in the Monty Cox days, before the Kawas, the Abdelazizes, there was two power brokers, managers. Well, it was a couple of those, but two of them that I can name that had a lot of the roster. One was Ken Pavia.
Mm-hmm.
Ken then moved on after he sold his boutique to Adi Attar. But prior to, so when he did that, he was still staying in the game and he was helping, I think it was called Super Fight League in India. You remember those guys?
Yeah.
And he told me one time, he goes, hey, buddy, he goes, I need you to fly to India and be a judge. And I was like, really? He goes, yeah, for Super Fight League. I was excited because I thought it would be a good experience to see what it's like. And I just think it would be great that I could add to the show and say, man, it was great. It's pressure. It's a pressure cooker or something. And do it. Until I looked at, I had to discuss it with our editor-in-chief at the time, and he recommended I not do it. And he was actually very strongly opposed to doing it, but I guess he kind of said, I guess I can't stop you. And then I looked at the card goes, and I remember Todd Duffy was on it. Mm-hmm. And Todd Duffy, I believe, was kind of a frequent guy on our show. He was living in Vegas. And I think I had just talked about having lunch with him at a Mexican restaurant that I ran into him. And then I was thinking, not only would it be not good, but what if I actually had to call a close round for the other guy? And what about just Todd probably maybe giving me the really, bro, like that look? You know what I mean? Like, there was so many ways in which it was tangled up in which I couldn't, it would not have been worth it. And I'll tell you right now, they're going to pay me $1,500 and obviously the flight up and back and the hotel. And so that would have been nice. It would have been nice to experience India for a few days and just judge, and hopefully there was knockouts and I wouldn't have to worry about it, or hopefully there was just unanimous decisions, but I really would have wanted to do it just to see what it's like.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great example.
Yeah. Anyway, how about Henry Cejudo and Karen Bryant and Aljamain Sterling? That's some of the TMZ stuff. That, now, I guess that's one, that's something I didn't necessarily want to see, but what'd you think of all that? Karen Bryant basically chiding Henry Cejudo for calling Aljamain Sterling an Al Jemima, which is kind of a reference to Aunt Jemima, which in my generation I knew as simply as a syrup. But in the last 20 years, people have basically stated that this is more of a, that it's racially insensitive. And I was honest with Goes and Richard Hunter from another show that we do. I was honest and told them I did not know that. But apparently, Goes, you did.
Yeah, I did, because somebody else kind of fell for that within the last couple years. It wasn't in this sport. It was in another one. It really sucks, man, that at this level, especially a champion. Oh, man. I mean, I'm me. I'm an idiot. And I still probably read my tweets before I put them out a few times, especially if I have any inclination that they could be somewhat bad. I still kind of go through that process. It just shocks me that guys write things and just hit send like that. And then I'm glad that it all worked out and it seems like everybody's okay.
We haven't heard anything from the UFC, right?
We haven't heard anything from the UFC, but the thing is, I'm glad it didn't pick up too much steam in just the regular media, because our sport's been kind of taking a hit lately, and we just don't need more of this. And I sort of wish that whole thing was done under the table, you know, a phone call rather than a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's someone you care about, you pick up the phone, you go, "Hey, man, you shouldn't have done this, or you shouldn't have done..." Like, I'm not going to reveal names, but we kind of had an incident somewhat similar where we had to tell a fighter, "Can't use that word," or "Can't do this," or "Can't do that." We didn't tweet it out or anything like that. Like, you just kind of do things under the table because you want to protect that integrity of the sport. You don't want people to get a bad reaction because of one bonehead, one person that does something dumb, you know, because everybody else goes down with the ship.
Karen stated that she wasn't offended, that she has thick skin. She likes Henry, but she wanted to let him know that what he was saying was racially insensitive. I think Henry, honestly, was just trying to work Aljamain into kind of like, if you're a guy and your name's Daniel, and I go, "Look at Danielle over there, scared little bitch," or something. I basically feminize your name. Now, with Aljamain, I guess you could call him Aljamaina, but I think he thought, "Hey, that's close to Aunt Jemima, so I'm going to call him Al Jemima." But I don't think Henry, I mean, he's younger than I am, so he may know what you know and that I didn't know. He doesn't strike me like as the type of guy where, like, "Hey, brown over black," or "brown over everything," or anything like that. He just goofed, and you're right, Goes. I think this could have been swept under the rug in a different way with the teachable moment, and that's that. But without people having to now question, like, "Do you think Henry Cejudo's racially insensitive?" You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that being said, had that not happened, you wouldn't have been educated on the subject, and I'm sure a lot of other people wouldn't have been educated on the subject. So, yeah. I guess it does serve its purposes, but yeah, it just sucks, man. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Stephen A. Smith's face, and I'm just thinking of, like, just the bad press that MMA's been getting here and there, bad decisions. Guys are quitting. Like, we just don't need more of this type of stuff.
Yeah, you're right. All right. So, I don't know if I finished. Okay, one thing, though. Going back to Valentina versus JoJo, I did look, and I'm trying to find where UFC 251 is going to be, by the way, for anybody that's wondering. We know 249 is the one in Brooklyn with Habib and Tony Ferguson. We know that 250 is the rumored one with Henry Cejudo and Jose Aldo in Sao Paulo, Brazil in early May. I know that I think it's June 6th is 251, and there was a possible rumor of Max Holloway rematching versus Alexander Volkanovski. That's the card that it could be, the same one that has Valentina Shevchenko versus JoJo Calderwood. However, we don't know the location, and we don't know that Max and Alex are there yet, whereas we're now kind of hearing a pretty official announcement of Valentina versus JoJo. Dana White was the one that confirmed that that other rematch was going to possibly take place, and it could happen in June. So we're filling in the pieces, and of course the following month is International Fight Week, which leads me to Max in International Fight Week. A little segue there. He suggested a UFC version of the NBA All-Star Weekend for International Fight Week. And what I think he was referencing was, well, we already have the fights. That's the All-Star game. The only thing I can think of is he must have meant those skills challenge, dunk contest, three-point contest, you know, the night before when they have that type of competition goes. Maybe he's thinking, what could fighters do then? And I was thinking, okay, they used to have a rookie versus sophomore game. We can't really do that because that's a fight. They could maybe bring back a couple legends and just have a legend fight and just maybe make it less than the maybe like tough enough rounds, like amateur rounds, just 2 minutes instead of five or 3 minutes instead of five or something like that. And just maybe see some old legends, maybe settle a beef or a score. They could do grappling like Quintet, which we saw recently before UFC 245 here in Vegas. However, I got to remind everybody, Cub Swanson tore his ACL. Even though it was fun seeing Pride and UFC and WEC and Strikeforce and that representation, a serious injury came out of that. But when Goz and I have been on those military trips, they have this punching machine at a bowling alley. And a few of the fighters that we've gone with have all lined up and fans gather around. The fighters liked it and they would punch it and kick it. I think you could do something with that. And the only other thing I can think of is those coaches' challenges that they've had over the years, like ping pong or shooting pool or driving range or maybe something like that, a la Battle of the Network Stars back in the days, where you maybe just grab 8 or 16 athletes that aren't competing that weekend, and you have them in some sort of athletic skills that won't risk an injury. I mean, I suppose you could swing a golf club and throw out your back, but now you're really reaching. I suppose you could in ping pong trip and fall, you know, while trying to save a rally. But again, we're reaching. Quintet, stuff's happening there, you know, that's grappling. That's a little bit different. But what would you think? What do you think of Max Holloway's suggestion? What do you think of, can you think of any fun games that they could do or fun activities?
I think it's fun. You know, it would probably require them spending a lot of money getting fighters out there for, you know, smaller things that I don't know what that type of payoff is. But if you think about their expo is just so different from what it started, it would have been fun to have something at that moment, right? Maybe like some weightlifting. I don't know, we see a lot of some weightlifting challenges or something. I don't know, but I would definitely tune in. Like if I were there and you told me these type of things are going to happen, I would totally show up.
So would I. I think they could have some fun with it as long as there's not the risk of injury. I think Dana White would be into it. The UFC is very good about saying, hey, look, we found a sponsor. Let me throw something out here. Metro PCS. We'll give $200,000 to the winner, you know, and eight guys compete, different weight classes. Maybe throw in a couple girls, and like I said, ping pong, shooting pool, maybe a 40-yard sprint.
Tug of war?
Maybe a tug of war. You know, something that we can say, okay, this benefits a little bit of the strong guy, this benefits the faster fighter. But in the end, you kind of compile some scores, and that's it, you know. And at the end, somebody gets some money. So, you know, you see how the coaches' challenges are. That's 10 grand. That's, you know, that those guys are fighting for. Or I guess for the fighters, it's 1,500, but the coaches get 10 grand. So, I don't know. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool.
Now, I don't know if Max, I don't know if they looked at it over at the UFC and said, Max, drop it. Or if they're seriously contemplated. But if they are, goes, we're available, right, to go over there and craft this idea and put it to work?
Hell yeah. I think Max would probably want the churro challenge, right?
Oh, yeah.
You would own people on that.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Ally Quinta wants Dustin Poirier. That's the last bit of news that I wanted to cover. Man, I heard it, and I'm thinking, let's do it. Like, two high-profile 155ers kind of bouncing back from setbacks, you know, losses. They don't get in the way of anything that's happening right now with You know, we got Khabib versus Tony. You got Conor McGregor arguably waiting in the wings if it's Khabib. Possible Justin Gaethje if it's not Khabib. Because I firmly believe that it's not Khabib. I don't know if Conor still fights Tony or if he goes out and boxes and does something else. But in the meantime, don't forget about Justin Gaethje is what I'm telling folks. And another thing I've been saying, Paul Felder and Dan Hooker, they're rising as well. You got the Kevin Lees of the world. You got Charles Oliveira's of the world. You know, there's others that are climbing as well. So in the meantime, these two can stay busy. Sign me up.
Yeah, it's a good fight, especially on paper. I think both guys can liven things up a little bit, and it's, I guess, a little, not really a placeholder fight. It's just something that just makes sense at this moment, I think.
Yeah, it's probably like three or four steps away from loser leave town, but loser leaves contention.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Something like that. It's got that little bit of that feel, so I'm okay with it. Switching over to Bellator. Bellator 239, Ruth versus Amosov. Goes, I've been a big fan of Ed Ruth, who's got amazing wrestling credentials. I feel like his striking is really, really solid. I think he's a wrestler who learned how to throw hands. And but he's fighting an undefeated fighter in Yaroslav Amosov. So big fight for Ed Ruth to see if he's going to be one of those wrestling guys that Bellator has groomed these last few years, like Tyrell Fortune, like him, like Aaron Pico, to see if he can get it done. That's the main event on Paramount and DAZN, 9 p.m. Eastern, and that's February 21st, so tomorrow, Friday. Brandon Gertz versus Miles Jury, the aforementioned Tyrell Fortune versus Timothy Johnson out of Extreme Couture, and Javi Ayala versus Valentin Moldavsky. So, names that we're familiar with. Keith Lee versus Sean Bunch, maybe we got to tune in a little bit early. Gaston Bolanos returns, goes. So, some names there.
Yeah, I'm down. I like Ed Ruth. I don't want to say it's make or break, but you put it really interesting in a way that it's just going to tell us exactly where he's at.
Right.
In his progression of what it is they're going to have with him.
Their funnest and deepest division, welterweight.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's been some of the criticism for Bellator is that sometimes these young and up-and-coming guys, we just don't know how well they are because they're opposition. And this is, I think you have to applaud Bellator on this one. This is a good fight.
Yeah, I take it back. I just got a text from a bunch of featherweights at Bellator. They are arguing that they have the deepest division. They might be right.
Close.
Bellator also has another card with Leah McCourt and Judith Ruiz. That's Bellator 7 Europe. So if you're just looking for action on the 22nd in Dublin, Ireland, 5 p.m. Eastern on MMA Junkie, this is kind of them just basically setting ground in Europe, and they'll send some of their fighters from the stateside to go that way or just groom the ones out there. But, for example, Georgie Karakanyan is flying across the world to fight in Dublin. Also, Bellator 240, you know how they do it over there, man. They separate the cards with DAZN and Paramount and tape delays. So check MMA Junkie, check schedule, and you can see a breakdown of when everything's happening. But I'll tell you right now, it's Brent Primus versus Chris Bungard on Paramount DAZN, 10 p.m. Eastern via tape delay. Again, that's the same card in Ireland. They just name it differently for the different TV contracts that they have out there. But it's all basically the same night. Beck Rawlings returns. Ricky Bandejas is out there as well. So that's your Bellator offering for the week. And any thoughts on what's going on in Europe, Goes?
I mean, to be honest, I love MMA, and Hooker and Felder are going to get my attention.
I agree.
But then boxing.
But then boxing, yeah. Bellator's just, it's a rough weekend for them. So if they can score big out there, hey, props to you. But it's really, really tough. There's so many other sports, man. There's basketball, hockey, soccer. You know, we just ended football. We got that one out of the way. But still, it's really, really tough nowadays. All right. Felder versus Hooker. Jimmy Crute versus Michelle Olesu. Why don't we even attempt that name? Olesenchik. I believe I got that right. Karolina Kovalkiewicz versus Yan Zhanin. That's the other Chinese fighter that's really, really good at strawweight, aside from the champ Weili Zhang. Marcos Rogério de Lima is in action. Kevin Aguilar, remember him? He's back in action. Jake Matthews versus Emil Meek. Kai Kara France versus Tyson. Angela Hill, of course, she's on every week. Mackie Patolo, he played at the Extreme Couture versus Junkies. He was part of that. So a lot of fighters on this card, but the big attention's on Felder versus Hooker.
It's going to be a good one too.
Who do you got?
I got Felder, but I've I'm starting to think maybe I got the wrong guy because I see everybody taking Hooker.
I see it as well, and I know I'm being a little bit of a homer, but hey, I've seen Felder grow as a fighter. I thought he had kind of run his course a little bit. I thought the Perry fight, even though it happened at 170, he took some damage, and I think he was just questioning, man, you know, it's tough being away from his daughter. He's got a surging career as a broadcaster. You know, does he really need to continue doing this? But he's been able to rack up some wins and respect, and he's been beating some good fighters. He avenged a big loss in Edson Barboza along the way. So I think he definitely knows, hey, man, I really am one of the tough guys out there. Between Barboza, Vic, Oliveira, and Stevie Ray, Alexander Ricci, he's got a five-fight win streak if you remove the Perry fight just at lightweight. So he's got something going here. Barbosa's no joke. You beat Barboza, you should feel like you can beat anyone in the world.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going with Felder as well. Now, quick note on that, folks. It is taking place on Saturday on ESPN+. 7 p.m. Eastern start time, 4 p.m. Pacific. So earlier than usual for the East Coast and the West Coast. Remember, it's usually 7 p.m. Pacific time for pay-per-views. This one's 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+ for the main card. The prelims go off at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. So it's an early Saturday affair for us. And the fights are going to take place on Sunday in New Zealand. I don't want you guys to get confused. All right, folks, that's our Thursday show. Covered a little bit there with some news. Previewed some of these fights that are coming up. Tried to send you in the right directions to the right channels at the right times for Bellator and the UFC. Talked a little bit about boxing goes. Hopefully some of the fans take us up on it. A night of boxing with friends and family and pizza and beer. It's not bad, right? This one's going to deliver if you want to give it a chance. One. Yeah. All right, folks. You know us. We'll be back on Monday ready to talk about all of these fights, ready to see who might be lining up for Khabib's title after Tony. I should say the winner of that because I might go with Tony on that one. You never know. We're still a few months away. But we'll be talking about all that, all the action from this past weekend. Please follow us on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at the Goes. The show is at MMA Junkie Radio, and we'll see you all on Monday. Until then, go out there and be a champion.